to move on.
Yeah.
So, Luca decided that he's going to build a machine himself, but
with his own funds.
Yeah, with his own funds. But one of the main reasons why we haven't been selling UD Precise is because there's no demand for dry fiber. In other words, the carbon, the UD carbon dry, is very little demand for it. What there is demand for is thermoplastic materials. Now, this is what they do.
Why?
With this. They impregnate. Why? They impregnate. Well, I'll explain it to you. They impregnate the UD with a thermoplastic material. They do it in different ways. You can do it with a film, like you can feed in another film and put it under great pressure and heat, and it the UD absorbs the thermoplastic materials, and it makes a much stronger material and much lighter material, and it's going now into cars, into the automotive industry, and in a big way, in a really big way.
You mean not only sports cars?
All the big companies, BMW, whoever you want, are all looking into them. Not only that, but the Chinese are doing it too. So Luca said, okay, we've got to look how we can convert the
carbon
size into a thermoplastic producing machine. And the way to do that is to add a couple more rollers on the machine, and these rollers are heated up to 300 degrees Celsius and under pressure, and you feed in the film, the thermoplastic film, and the roller sort of melts the thermoplastic into the UD. Now,
what melted?
The heated roller.
Okay.
Now, Luca.
Is that already working? I mean, did you see it?
I'll come to all your questions in a minute.
You're right.
Luca didn't know how to heat these rollers. He thought, should I heat it with oil? Should I heat it with electrically? Should I heat it with? And he came upon the idea, and I think Robert also gave him an idea about this. He's still around. He'll heat it with a thermoplastic, with a carbon fiber coil inside the roller.
Okay.
A carbon fiber coil inside the roller.
So how does the carbon fiber coil
and
get used?
And the carbon fiber has a connection outside the roller.
Yeah.
So electrically.
Why is that better than copper coils?
It uses a small fraction of the energy. It gives a much more even heat all the way around the roller.
Which is necessary.
It's
crucial. That's the word. I'm looking
for. Yeah. It has loads of different advantages. So when we were now in Genoa, Luca said, you know, these rollers don't necessarily have to be used.
That sounds like him so much.
For UD Precise. We can use these rollers for the steel industry, for the paper industry, for the, you know, textile fiber industry.
And why? Why does textile need heating?
Because you need a heated roller. Yes, you need a heated roller for all kinds of different purposes.
Okay.
And
And you saw this working?
I saw this.
It's not just in his mind, it's an actual product.
One of the other advantages of this carbon fiber
coil
inside the heater is I saw it get up to nearly 300 degrees C. And then Luke said, come and have a look what, he's got like a measuring device which can measure the inside of the roller, the temperature inside the roller. He said, come and have a look what temperature the bearings are at, the bearings of the roller. The bearings of the roller were like 25 degrees C.
You could touch them.
What?
You can touch them.
You can touch them.
How is that possible?
Not only that.
How is that possible?
Because the carbon fiber only heats the
what it's touching.
What it's touching. Doesn't heat anything else.
That sounds like something that came from rubber.
I don't know. I don't know where it came from. But the advantage of that is, you see, on heated rollers normally, within, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months, you've got to change the bearings. Because they've gone already. And with this, they can last years. Okay, that's one thing that we saw. The other thing which Luke has been working on, he's been working very hard at nights, at days, and he said to us.
Is he still married?
What?
He's still married?
Yes, he's got two kids.
He's got two kids.
Well, she was pregnant at the time, so yeah,
he's got a boy now.
That Romanian girl, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
She's a nice person, I remember,
very nice person, yeah. The other thing that he did was he took a carbon fiber, like a bit of UD, and he put it in a tank of water, his own tank of water, with electric connection, with a small electric, at a very low, you know,
current.
And it started to heat up the water very, very quickly. And then he brought in...
It's the same idea, but applying it differently.
Right. Then he brought in a tank. We saw the tank of 1 ton of water.
1 cubic meter, yeah.
Yeah, 1 ton of water. I think it's more than 1 cubic meter, I think.
One ton of water is one cubic meter.
Yeah.
That's the definition of a ton.
He had this and he was heating up, and it heated up very, very quickly. So he said, I'm going to make a little box for this heater, put a fish on it, and I'm going to sell it to people who want swimming pool heating.
That's a good idea.
It's a brilliant idea.
Does he have the numbers in the sense of...
He's done a lot of research on it.
How do they heat pools ordinarily?
Today they heat pools. They have a pump.
Yeah.
The water comes out of the in the circulation. That it's being cleaned. It's being filtered, and then it goes through a heater. Yes. When it comes back. That is very inefficient.
It's very inefficient. It's very expensive to run.
About it, when you're talking about a big pool, so they have their solutions. But think about we have a pool. What they have today is okay. But I have a little pool in my home. I don't know. It's like 7 tons of water in there. For the kids in the summer, we open it. We can't heat it because we can't put a heating vessel on the way. We don't have all this pumping stuff.
But this thing is connected to electricity. It wouldn't even work outdoors.
What?
You need an electric outlet.
You need an electric outlet.
Of course, but you need an electric outlet always.
You wouldn't be able to heat it outdoors.
Of course you can.
Where are you going to have an electric outlet?
I can tell you about my pool. My pool, again, it's like 4 meters and 2 meters.
No, it's not a problem.
And
you need an extension cord.
Listen, and there is we do have a pump to filter the water. It works on electricity. We can get electricity out, but it's not only water. If he's actually thinking about that, I don't know. I don't know the fits about it. But if it works, hear me out. If it works, it can be sold. Tell him
Yeah.
Tell him that Benny said.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
He knows I'm
a kumkum chashmali.
Yeah.
If you can have a more powerful way, meaning that you don't have to wait 3 minutes for the water to boil, you only have to wait 1 minute.
It's gewaldig. You're using it for the coffee industry.
For the coffee industry, yeah. It's gewaldig.
1 minute.
Am I right? Yeah. It's gewaldig.
Yes. Yeah. 1 minute.
Did you think about it already?
He wants to put it on espresso machines.
Ah, so he thinks about it in the Italian way. Right. I think about it the Israeli way, yeah. Yeah, it's true. Look, I bought like 6 months ago a water bar.
Yeah.
And...
what's a water bar?
You know, it filters
hot water or cold water.
Like
it filters. It filters the water because I have water. I don't like the
sediment.
The water in the brazim, and on the other hand, I don't want. We were always buying Mayeden, but it's not so expensive. A is expensive, and B it's a nudge bringing them up down even a little bit. We moved, by the way. Did I ever tell you that? Oh,
the father told me.
Yeah. But still, even with an elevator. So I said, let's buy that. I got a very good deal on it. But the thing is, it has cold, warm, pochere, and hot for hot coffee.
Three options.
It had three options. 750 shekel. Pashut, fantastic.
Yeah.
With a Shabbos mode, so I can use the cold water on Shabbos.
Right. They advertise it like that. They use it on Shabbos. Yeah.
And the water is great. And
you can use the cold water or the hot water?
No, you can't use the hot water.
No.
But the way it works is cold that it has a mechal of coal. Inside is like a mechal that's cool. And there's also a mechal for hot water. Now, if you're making a cup of coffee, it's fantastic. Because you all the time have hot water available. You don't have to... But if you're making a pitcher of tea, that's the word, mm-hmm. right? A pitcher of tea... The michal is too small, and it takes a long. Once it's empty, it takes a long time. Not a long time, but it's not available immediately. If there would be a way to heat that water immediately, if these coils are really, I don't know, but if these coils are such an advantage compared to normal coils, compared to copper or any type of metal coil. So business can go to like
loads,
5 million applications.
There are loads of applications.
But did you see his data?
I saw data. He was measuring every hour the temperature of his tank of water. He was measuring and the data, and it was fantastic.
Okay, really let's put that aside. Okay, listen.
All right, so, let me tell you now what is needed. He's having some... He's only just finished the second roll on the UD Precise.
The thermoplastic roll, you mean?
Pardon?
The thermoplastic roll.
For the thermoplastic material. He's going to send me those. I don't know which form or whether he's going to send them by the photo. It's going to be professionally photographed, whether by FedEx or on the internet. I don't know. I don't know how he's doing. But I don't think it'll take very long. But we'll get those new photos. And what needs to be done, and this is where you come in initially, anyway. Is that we have to upgrade the website of the UD Precise.
Okay.
And we also have to add in some text, which I think Goldie can do, on thermoplastics. How we deal with
it. Do you want it to be the same website?
Pardon?
Yeah, it should be the same website. And there's also something else. You wanted to know. We note that there are all kinds of things on the side that come up, and when you look something up on your surf on the word, there are basically advertisements that come up on.
You want to do a campaign.
It's
called a campaign.
What's it called?
It's called a campaign. It's called something.
So you get
two things. You want
right away.
Well, that costs money, of course. You know, Google doesn't do nothing for free. It is very complicated. There's no straight answer to that. Oh. They basically
and what
take
ensures
my,
it's, you come up first when you do a search? Not
no,
page
no,
two or three.
No. Coming up first is a big problem,
mm-hmm.
and it's not nothing to do with it. There's two things.
The number of hits causes it to move up on the ladder?
No, no. Google has a very, very, very complicated algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
On how to on how it what is a reshima and how we're doing the reshima.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically, I mean, the way Google started out, the whole idea with Google before Google, there were a million search engines,
yeah, yeah.
but there was no real way to do that, to find what's really interesting for the person. Google came up with an idea, and they said, "Listen, we have it's called a bot, a spider." That go through all the websites. And if we see, for example, that many websites with the word Coca-Cola inside link, that their link shows Coca-Cola.com, that means that Coca-Cola is probably the most interesting or most relevant result, and they'll put it on top. That's how they started out. Meaning, if you are linked from many different other places, then you get a higher rank.
Who makes those links? You would have to make it.
No, no. Theoretically, it happens naturally, right? If I will make a website, and I will mention Coca-Cola, so my link will be to Coca-Cola's website. So naturally, what would happen is that many people, whenever they want to link Coca-Cola to somewhere, they'll link it to that website.
But something like this, where there are many, many applications. There are applications.
Let's take
many
this.
Ways.
1 minute. This is 10 years ago, when Google started.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
What happened is that many people say, I'm chaya, so I will make another cola. But I will also build 1,000 websites, and all of them will say Coca-Cola, but will link to my website, right?
Yeah.
And Google's robot will find all my websites, and will assume that my Coca-Cola website is the best one, and put me first. And it became a whole industry. So as time passed by, they bettered their algorithm. They said, well, not every website has the same weight as another website, when dealing for us to conclude that this is the highest ranking one. And Jews over time figured out that algorithm and so on and so forth. Today it's an extremely complicated algorithm. And it's very, very difficult, if at all possible, to ensure being first. Or second, or third. 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. I'm not done. I'm not done.
Question. The more precise question is.
I am not done. Of course, today, if you will write the word in Google, UD precise, the first website that will come up will be UD precise. If you'll actually put in Herbert Maxwell, you will probably get UD precise in one of the first Totsaot, or if you put in Luca Parisonzo. But yes, try it. You should try it. But
that's too specific.
But that is not what you're after. Because someone who wants to a potential customer won't write UD precise. He never heard about UD precise or about Herbert Maxwell.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How does Google make money? Google makes money by the ads. As you said, you get on the side, you get on top sponsored links. The way it works is, and this too is very complicated, I'll simplify it, but it's very complicated. You basically go to Google. I go to Google, I say, first we decide, we find keywords. What are the keywords that people would be looking for in which we would be interested for our ad to be in that section of sponsored ads.
That hits you right away.
Now, this is a very complicated business because you don't want... Okay, 1 minute. You put in those words. And then there's a way you pay them mm-hmm. by the click. Meaning if someone will click that link that came up, you will pay them, say, half a dollar. Now, it could be 1 cent. It could be $20. It's very complicated because you have to tell them, because there are other people on the same keywords. And they are also, it's basically like a michraz. Every time someone, if I say carbon as a, that's a very bad word, but if I use carbon as a keyword that I want to be used, there's like a million other people who for a completely different thing.
You've come up with fossil fuels.
And they're also willing to pay. They're also willing to pay. So you have to build a whole system. There's a way to put it and say, listen, I'm willing to pay up to a half to 50 cents per click, but I'd rather pay less, of course, if no one else is asking for that. And that's, it's very, very complicated. That's how they make money. That's how Google makes money. Now, doing that is possible if I'm very good in this. I do it for people. You being my friend and Luca being my friend, I wouldn't go that way if I was him. And I'll explain why.
Can I put a word in here?
You can put as many words as you want.
I think because UD precise with the thermoplastic is there are only a limited number of companies. I'm talking about only
exactly.
If we have a website with UD precise, dry materials, and also thermoplastic materials, I think we can then target ourselves the companies which could be interested.
I think it would make sense to have something thermoplastic in another website then.
No.
Separate website.
No.
One minute. Before we go, that's a different issue. Maybe you are right, but that's a different issue. What you just said is exactly what I said.
Yeah.
This strategy of a web campaign in Google.
Yeah.
Is efficient when you are trying to sell shampoo that is made out of these flowers.
Right.
And there are 5 billion or 7 billion potential customers, and you want to get to them. These products are sold to a number, it could be 1,000, but only maximum 1,000 possible clients. It's the money wasted on Google Ads, in which a million people could click it because they were looking for carbon for some other thing, and they clicked it, and you paid 50 cents or a dollar, and it sums up quickly. It is very not. It's throwing away money. It's much better taking that money.
It's not effective in cost, and also.
And also, a company, say, those guys in Chemnitz, right? What was their name? I forget. No.
Who?
The company in Chemnitz.
Karl Mayer. Yeah.
They don't sit in Google and look for carbon. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way to go. I mean, I'd love to do it. I'd make money on it, of course. But it's not the way to go on such a thing. The way to go on such a thing is, I'm sorry, it's old-fashioned to say it, but it's just a traditional way of making phone calls, making meetings, going to the Taruchot. It's the only way to do it. You can't, you can sell phones like that. You can sell cake. You can sell whatever you're targeting.
Large quantity.
An infinite, for any practical point of view, an infinite amount of people.
Yeah.
But if you are targeting 10, 20, 50, 100, 300, Forbes 500, for example, companies, it's not the way to go. You go to meet the Forbes 500, you make flyers like they used to do 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And not flyers, in Achinami. There's a difference. You make a website and you give them the information digitally, but the way to sell it is the way things were sold, things like this was always sold. it can be compared to making a mail campaign, I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago, right? If you want to sell coats and shirts, so you send out catalogs to everybody, and hopefully 10 or...
That was a very old-fashioned way. What I studied was that instead of going on, to recall the word that I use, a fishing expedition, I throw the net out, whatever happens, you know. But the idea was to figure out, to know the industry well enough, so that instead of wasting a lot of energy going this way, targeting.
Yeah, so still, you're right.
You have to understand the industry. And to say that I understand what those companies who could potentially use in carbon fiber, I would say I don't know exactly. But that would require studying the industry a bit to know where do these people who make decisions, where do they look for their supplies, what do they read, where do they look?
You are absolutely
and,
right.
It means studying the industry a bit.
That is utterly
and it's
correct.
Also international, because you're talking about like what do they need in carbon fiber, and maybe how he said that they're going to do some work, and he apologized in advance that they're going to be right above us, so he apologized in advance for the noise.
Okay.
You know, and this is international. I don't know where the biggest companies are, but you need to get something sometimes in their language, not just in English,
There are a number of potential customers. Okay.
And the number is limited.
It's a very limited number.
Okay, where do they look?
One minute.
To be on top of the
You are saying the same thing.
Where do they go? What do they look at? What do they read?
They don't have to look.
We have to find them. No, but Goldie.
Goldie
is absolutely. Yavi. Do you think we'll be done by 1 o'clock? Hakeshniya Yoav. Do you think we'll be Matai Afaka Bashukha? אני לא שומע. אני לא שומע, דבר ברור. כן. ו? כן. כן. מה הם התחילו לעשות? ומה הם עשו? אז יש בלגן. יואב, עשו שם בלגן והם בצרות גדולות עכשיו. תדעי לך שזה הילדים הכי מטומטמים שמעתי בחיים שלי. אבל בשמינית פשוט מטומטמים. יואב, אני באמצע ישיבה חמודי. אני באמצע לשבת עם אנשים. רגע, יואב, מתי יש לך הפסקה אחרי אחת נגיד? אוקיי, אז תהיה זמין ב-1:35, אוקיי? ב-1:35 זה מנחה? אז מתי נגמר מנחה? מתי? ב-1:50 יש לך זמן? תגיד לי זמן פשוט, שאני... אוקיי, אז מצוין. אז אני אתקשר אליך ב-1:50. בלי נדר. ביי.